Services District for January 12th, 2005. And we are celebrating our 40th year, which occurs, I believe, on January 28th will be the anniversary. If you will all join me at this time in the flag salute. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, would you please call a roll?
Director Wilson?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Weeby?
Here.
Director Wirthberg-Harley?
Here.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's still early. Well, at this point in time, we have several recognitions to do here, actually two, so it's not several. Our first one, I would like to call Mr. Robert Blair up to the front.
Would you care to join me, Michael?
Sure.
Since you're past president,
you're welcome.
That should solve one or two problems.
I like that little bit of humor. I appreciate that. Okay, at this time, we'd like to open it up to public comment. Any member of the public may address and ask questions of the board relating to any matter within the board's jurisdiction, provided that the matter is not on today's agenda or pending before the board. And presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Any members of the public who would like to speak? If not, then we will move on to Commander Martin Basti, who is the commander of the South County Sheriff Station, and welcome back and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, and Happy New Year as well, members of the board, staff, and public. It's great to be here. Also, I'd like to add on to both Mr. Blair and Mr. Wynn. Thank you for opening the door and making the opportunity for us to be here, because it was during your term that we were able to come each and every month, and that's much appreciated to share that information, and the feedback we get is incredible. So, by next month, we have a new STAT program, so we'll follow up on last year, and I'll give you the same letter, and we can compare how we're doing with last year. During the last couple of weeks, obviously, we've been very busy with the weather. We had 3 different search and rescue and dive team call-outs, North Coast, Lopez, and up in Nacimiento, which kept them very busy, as well as the downed trees, alarms, etc. And the week before Christmas, the deputies made a stop up here at the Chevron station, 2 individuals, a male and a female, in a car. And subsequent to the arrest, they found a bunch of checks, mail, from all the way from Santa Barbara clear to Paso Robles. A subsequent search warrant of their motel room revealed that they had a computer with both credit card and check writing capabilities, and so far to date we have about 40 different fraud cases throughout the 2 counties for those individuals. So, like I said before, that's one of our biggest issues right now, is the theft of mail and credit cards and people's identity through the internet, etc. Difficult to trace. We are working on getting a computer forensic analysis individual as we privatize our crime labs, so that we can do some of these long-term investigations and pull some of this information where they're stealing information. We just did one yesterday that resulted in the server being in Hong Kong, had to fax Hong Kong to get the information for a victim here in Napomo. So they're far-reaching. It does take a lot of time, but we're getting a forensic expert to pull those computers apart and stuff and help us track some of those IP numbers. So with that, we're looking forward to another great year. I appreciate the opportunity of being here. Any questions or issues that haven't been resolved? Obviously, it's nice the sun's out and let some of the water reside. At least we don't have some of the problems some of the other counties that got deluged, especially down in Ventura. So, any questions, comments?
Any questions or comments from the board?
I do want to thank Mr. Basti publicly, although we have done so privately. We did have a drainage stoppage in one of the major culverts under Thompson. We brought it to his attention that there was a code enforcement issue, and they took care of it that very day. Fortunately, because there's been a great deal of runoff since then, it could have caused quite a bit of flooding in the area.
And again, we appreciate the call, and that's what we need to do, is get that communication going. You need something resolved, let's let us know, and let us get it resolved and worked on.
Okay. Does any member of the public have a question for Commander Basti? Seeing
good.
That, I want to thank you very much for your presentation. Look forward to seeing you at the Oceano Halcyon Advisory
Monday, yeah.
Meeting.
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay. I don't see Dan Anderson as a representative from CDF here for presentation. If not,
they plan to come once a month.
Okay. Well, if not, then we'll move on to item D, the consent agenda, warrants, board meeting minutes, and acceptance of sewer water improvements for Track 2212 PennCon. Any comments from the board, questions of staff, want for items pulled?
I just have a question on the TrinCon. Just says something about eight lots. Just what was it that they completed?
As far as the off-site improvements that we're accepting?
The thing that we're accepting, yeah.
We have a representative from Trincon here who can answer that, and actually, as Lisa walks in, she might even be more familiar with the project.
Good morning. My name's Roberta Chavez from HarfCal, from the owners of the eight lots, Track 20 to 12. And we just completed the improvements of the water and sewer improvements. So we're doing the offer of dedication for acceptance. That's what we're here for.
I'm still not clear on that. My understanding was that Track 2212 had something like 30-some parcels in it. Is that?
No, it's eight lots.
There's only eight lots?
Yes, eight lots.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's only been just eight lots.
And then 1256 made up the rest of it?
I think so, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay, I guess we need a motion from the board to accept.
So moved.
The consent agenda.
And was there any other public comment?
Yes, was there any other public comment on the consent agenda? I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. LeBrun. Seeing none, then bring it back to the board. Mr. Wynn has made a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Need a second by Mr. Eby. Madam Secretary, please call roll. Or for the votes?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Trotter?
Yes.
Director Worsley?
Yes.
President Berghammer?
Yes. Okay, let's move on to administrative items. Item number E1, the Gasho de-annexation, and I hope I pronounced the last name relatively close. Mr. LeBrun. And Mr. Seitz.
On this next item, I had a conversation with Paul Hood regarding this agenda item, and I did run off some information yesterday. Would like to pass it out to the board, and I do have copies for other people in the audience.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Seitz.
Just to introduce the item briefly, the district received a letter on December 17, 2004 from Mr. Gale and Mrs. Della Gasho requesting a de-annexation, or I think the correct term is detachment from the district. The letter is attached to a staff report for your review. The Gasho property is on the fringe of the district. As we understand from Mr. and Mrs. Gasho, that they have rights to alternative water sources that are actually outside the groundwater basin. I think both those elements make this request a bit unique. Again, that it is on the fringe and they have other water resources that are available to them. And on that basis, the Gashos have requested detachment from the district. Today what staff is looking for from the board is direction is in regards to whether the board would support such a notion and direct staff to proceed with. I think council has given us some additional material here as far as the LAFCO process, and what we'd look to go forward and do is further define the process with LAFCO. And then articulate with Gasho's an agreement as to who will be supporting or providing the resources needed to go forward with this de-annexation. If there are any questions, I'd hope to. I've got the third attachment is a parcel map overview of the property, and I attempted to, with some pen and ink changes, show the area that's in question. And I hope we can see here that it's Gosho property is lot 55, if you see it there with a circle in it. It's 10.63 acres, and the district boundary line, so to the south of this area is the district. So this is the northern periphery of the district, and you can see that the district boundary actually comes and jogs to take in the Gosho property. As you look at that map, that property is actually accessed off of Pomeroy on a, what's shown just here is an easement. The road, let's see, I've got the name of that road is actually Quiet Oaks Drive now, and that easement that's shown, it's outside the district coming off of Pomeroy, you see there. And that property was part of a 40-acre subdivision, so they ended with 10 four-acre lots, and those, and with those lots came a quarter interest or a quarter right in a well. So again, the Goshos have a well that is off of their property, but part of this original 40-acre parcel outside the Napomo Mesa sub area of the Santa Maria groundwater basin. And that is the water source that they'd look to if and when they're successful with detachment from the district. And with that, I'll entertain any questions the board might have. And the applicant is here today, and I'm sure willing and anxious to speak to the board.
I just want to, Mr. Sykes, if I might, Mr. President, make a couple additional comments. Yesterday, I had a talk with Mr. Hood regarding the detachment and the procedures, and what I've given the applicant and the board is the guidelines from the San Diego LAFCO Commission. These guidelines just basically kind of try to restate the law in more layman terms. So, but most importantly, I think from all of this that you have handed out is the last exhibit was the flow chart. It sort of shows you how this works.
Mr. Seitz, that says uninhabited.
Right, and I knew that question was going to come up, and I don't know if I brought my legal research with me, but for the purpose of LAFCO, uninhabited property is determined by the amount of people or the amount of residents on that property. And I forget the exact equation, but it's a lot more than one to be considered uninhabited. So I talked to Paul about this very issue yesterday, whether LAFCO would consider this request for de-annexation as inhabited or uninhabited. And he said his preliminary analysis, so I don't want to make sure it's not a final analysis, was that this would be an a request from an uninhabited territory. That's why this flowchart is attached. Basically, there are two ways to initiate, as just taking a look at the flowchart, I think we'll go through it. Basically, there are two ways that a request for detachment occurs. One, it would be by resolution of this board. That's not before you here today, so just sort of keep in mind that that's not what is before you, just a procedural thing. The other one is that the applicant can start the process by petitioning LAFCO. There is a LAFCO hearing, and this detachment, if it was to move forward, would not solely be in the control of the applicant in the district. LAFCO has the opportunity from its own discretion to deny, approve, or condition the request. And I just want to make sure everybody is keyed into that. And then if it is approved by LAFCO with conditions, then there may be some type of protest proceedings before LAFCO, before it becomes final. What staff is recommending to the board in response to this request is sort of laid out in the staff report. But I think if the board wants to move this forward, or if the applicant wants to petition, I think we need to clearly understand from LAFCO staff's perspective what, how they see this unfolding. And two is, what type of information do we need, and what information does LAFCO need in order to get this to the hearing on the application, so we have an opportunity to gather that information and to present it to the board at a future date as to whether they wish to formally support the detachment or formally not support or oppose the request for detachment. And that's just my report. I want to make sure that I had some information as to how this worked before the board and for the applicant.
Any other comments, questions of staff from the board?
I have a number of comments, but I'd like to hear the applicant first, I think, personally.
Then, seeing none at this time.
I have a question.
You have a question.
Not a comment, it's a question. On this map, it shows that the property circle 55 is outside of what looks like the district boundary. Is that correct?
No. The district boundary is to the south, if you will, the orientation of the... I drew a kind of a feeble north arrow here.
I'm looking at these dashed lines that show the district boundary just to the north of the property and to the west of the property. Is that the district boundary line?
The heavy dashed line is the district boundary line, and the district then includes that property in south and east of the line. The majority of this drawing is outside the district boundary.
Oh, it includes this?
Yeah.
It includes this.
In order not to obstruct the property lines, the dashed lines were drawn off to one side.
Okay.
They superimposed on each other.
All right.
Right.
And
now.
Yeah, okay, so that's clear.
Right, and so where I have labeled current district boundary at the lower right part, that is within the district. That text itself.
So what's north of his property, that property 58, is outside the district boundary?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is 74.
Fine. I understand that.
Okay. Then I'd like to ask Mr. Gachot to quote applicant, I guess you could say, at this point.
Maybe if I could, and I asked Commander Basti to stay here for just a moment in case any questions came up. A quick bit of history of how this parcel ended up. We purchased this property in 2001 from Butch and Vicki Pope, who owned the property for approximately 21 years. They purchased this property from Earl Larson, and Commander Basti knows Mr. Larson well. He had been arrested repeatedly, had been jailed over sabotaging water lines, electrical lines, stealing pumps, etc. So in 1993, when this district was being created, Butch and Vicki, as he tells me, agreed to go into the district with a backup solution because they could not satisfactorily resolve their water issues, even though they had legal rights to a well. Mr. Larson would continue in the middle of the night, cut the water lines 6 feet underground, cut electrical lines, etc. And Commander Basti can certainly vouch for that. He knows him well. So they went into this district as a backup. And at the time they went in, which was after it went to the planning staff and planning commission, there was no restrictions going to be placed on this property. And as you all, if you don't know, you should know at the very last minute, our restrictions were placed on Summit Station at the very last minute when it went to the Board of Supervisors. Not when it was working through staff, not when people agreed to go in or not go in to the district. So that's how they ended up in the district. They never physically hooked up. Within the first week of us owning the property, Larson drove up on our property and threatened me that if I used one drop of his well, that I won't go on to say what else he threatened me with. And so I decided, just for the heck of it, since we were already in the district, and I knew at that time that the supervisors were working on an EIR, I figured I'll go ahead and hook up, because at some point the restrictions will be removed. So that's how we ended up in the district. So it is an odd piece, and as was adequately described, we just recently became Quiet Oaks. We were formerly Pomeroy Road, but once you see on your map, parcel 73 and 74 were recently split. So we share the same wall, we share the same road, and they were allowed to take a 10-acre parcel and split it into 2 5s. So we consider ourselves part of this neighborhood rather than the backside of our property, which comes off of Dale. It's where our water line comes from. Based on all the reasons that I listed on my what I consider my application, I went to LAFCO. I spoke briefly with Paul. He turned me over to David Church, and David told me that the first thing I should probably do is to go to the district and ask for a resolution that the district would not oppose my, what I was calling de-annexation, which we'll now call a detachment. So that's the reason I came forward with this request. I was not given the information that legal counsel just handed me. Mr. Church told me, he said, Mr. Gosher, it'll be very similar to what you just went through for an annexation. I coordinated the annexation for St. John's Lutheran in Aurora Grande when they became part of the city of Aurora Grande. So I went through that 12-13 month process of an annexation, and Mr. Church just told me it's going to pretty much be the opposite of that. You'll have to do the various things, etc. But was not given this information. So we are desirous of proceeding, and as I said, the reason I came forward with a letter and stated as I did was because that's what I was directed to do by David Church from LAFCO. So I would certainly appreciate the support of the district. I realize it's going to take some time to go through this process, but looking at all the other things that we will be facing, we still think it's the right thing to do. We've got huge issues with CDF because we don't have a hydro that's even remotely close to our property, and we were grandfathered in. So we're currently being served by, which was legal, we're currently being served by stored water. So there's a variety of reasons for this. It makes sense, but we have ample water. We've got a huge well that we've been pumping. So those are the reasons that I would respectfully request of you your consideration. You're not opposing our detachment request, and based on that, I would be very willing to go forward with LAFCO and do whatever I'm directed to do.
Any questions, comments from board or staff? Mr. Seitz.
Ask a question for you, if I might, Mr. President.
Please.
First of all, I want to make it clear that this information is from my office. It's not from LAFCO. So if Paul didn't give it to you, or David didn't give it to you, this came from my office. I happen to have the San Diego LAFCO rules as part of my library. So I want to make sure that there's no issue there. Secondly, you know, part of this process is going to include an environmental analysis. You know, this will be a project for LAFCO. I just want to make sure everybody kind of understands it. When he says 13 months, I think that's probably a fair timeline, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was even longer. The other issue is, and I'm sure LAFCO and this district is going to be interested before staff can recommend that the board take any action, is some knowledge as to the entitlement to water. I think that is going to be one of the key issues. And what we have heard, what I've heard today is that it has been a contentious issue in the past. You know, water lines being cut. I don't know if that's still a possibility or if there is a...
Let me clarify that point. Mr. Larson no longer owns the property and hasn't for 2 years, so the disputes over water are no longer in place.
I think that I'm just trying to give the applicant a bit of advice here. More than likely, LAFCO is really going to be interested in that particular issue, in my estimation. And again, what's before the board
is not a resolution not to oppose. So I want to make sure that both the applicant and the board is understanding what is the recommendation before the board is that we explore this issue with the applicant and the other one is probably the last bullet. This is from staff's perspective. This is that we need to if we meet with LAFCO and the applicant wants to move forward, and this is going to take some district effort in it, we staff's recommendation would be that there would be some type of reimbursement agreement and a general agreement so that our outstanding ratepayers aren't being put in the position of financing this this process. The other one that we need to address and fully ascertain is that this property, or at least a portion of it, is in the assessment district, and we have to have a clear understanding as between the other folks in the assessment district and the district, this district, as to how that will resolve itself. And I can't give you the answer right here today as to how that will resolve itself. And then the other issue is, you know, termination of district ongoing service to the property. So there, what I want to try to say is that there's a couple issues before staff can come back and make any recommendation to the board that have to sort of resolve themselves. But having said that, that doesn't preclude the applicant under the box to the right on their own to petition LAFCO for detachment. And that's, then it would come back to this board at a later date. So I don't know if the applicant is particularly precluded from moving forward on their own with LAFCO. But if the idea is that the petitioner wants the district to initiate the process by resolution, staff's not prepared to make any recommendation on that effort. Mr. Trotter.
A couple of questions. Have you or your neighbors, the group that draws from this well, have you kept track of the water depths, the condition of the well, and so forth?
It hasn't been recently checked, but the adjoining property that went through the lot split about a year and a half ago went through all the necessary testing of the well in order for them to proceed with the lot split. So it's been done within the last several years. I don't have the details associated with that, but it met the satisfaction of the county in terms of the requirements for creating an additional parcel.
Because some wells have failed just north of you. Do you realize that?
I understand that. Relative to the question, you know, I don't know what all is going to be required, but certainly we did a lot of research when we purchased this property, and the deed to our property very specifically outlines the easement for water well and water line purposes to that adjoining property. So it's an attachment to our, it's not a site agreement, it's formally filed as part of our deeded property, and the four of us have the exact same agreement for access to that well. So that would be the number one thing that I would certainly show in terms of that we do have legal access to that well.
Any other questions, comments?
I have comments, but I'm waiting for
the questions to finish.
Yeah. Any other public comment on this particular item?
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Bellwell, Organi. I live at 1449 Dale Avenue. I own four houses in Summit Station. It's very unfortunate for this gentleman and the rest of the people that live in Summit Station that the abuse that we have suffered either from the county or from various government agencies. The county has lifted the restrictions in Summit Station. You people decided to go forward to pursue legal action to keep this man from doing what legally the county says now he can do. He should be able to split his property if he can find supplemental water. His water is outside the district.
Mr. Blair, he's asking...
This public comment.
Well, he's asking for a de-annexation.
Right. And there's no reason why, if he was allowed to do what the county says he's allowed to do, there's no reason why he should have to de-annex. You people have added 51 acres of at least 10 or 11 other residences to the water system that he and I and the rest of the people in Summit Station have paid for. Yet for some reason, you can't see fit to let us build either granny houses or build additional residences. Something wrong with the whole system. There's no reason why you should turn us into adversaries that we're going to have to line up and sue this district to get what the county says we already have. As far as CDF is concerned, one of the ladies wrote the Attorney General of the State of California, the Governor of the State of California, and they're going to kick it up to the CDF in Sacramento and look into why they changed the rules in 1998. And this is going to the state level. The governor of this state has said that he wants to see more housing. He is going to reduce restrictions so that people can have more housing, and you people are piling more on top of us. We got a conflict of interest here. And I think when it's all sorted out, and the trouble, what's really bad is it takes all this time to sort it out.
Mr. Blair, your 3 minutes are...
I understand
expired.
That. But
thank you very
it's not
much
over.
For your, thank you very much for your comments.
I live in the Summit Station area, and
Would you please talk into the microphone your name, since the meeting is recorded?
My name is Diane Brandt. I live in the Summit Station area, and I would just like to comment that I do believe the reason Mr. Gasho is trying to de-annex is because he wants to split his property, and I agree with Mr. Blair that the county has given us the right to do that, and I guess you're considering litigation as a board, and I'm asking you that you refrain from doing that you let us use our property the same as anybody else in the district. If you have water to give out to anyone, we should be allowed those same rights. And then on another note, in conjunction with his de-annexation, we several years ago were in escrow to buy the lower 10-acre parcel below his that Mr. Larson owned, and I can vouch for the horrors that man put us through. And he did close the escrow, fortunately for us. But the well that he's speaking of is that serves these four parcels is down on Los Barros Road. It's not on, I don't believe it's on any of the four parcels. And it comes up the hill to those properties, and it's a very high producing well. So I do believe if he wanted to split, there's plenty of water to serve more homes. I know when we were in escrow to buy that property, we were looking at having some type of a well agreement between the four property owners. I don't know if that was ever done, or the seller, Mr. Larson, was trying to give a well agreement to us when we bought it. But I don't know if the four parcel owners have one set up between their parcels. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? I'd like to bring it back to the board then, and believe Mr. Wynn, you had
sure.
some
a couple of questions, but first a comment. When I listened to staff presentation today, I don't mean to nitpick, but I think we need to make a fairly careful distinction between what we say and what we don't say. What we're saying is that this parcel has a water source outside of the Mesa subdivision or Mesa management area. We're not saying it's outside the basin. The judges ruled the basin goes from what they call the northern cities all the way to Orchid. And supplemental water in the district terms is water that comes from outside the Mesa area, not the entire basin. And I just don't think we want to go on record telling Mr. Gasho that his water source is outside the basin when the court says it's inside. And that, it doesn't affect my decision. I fully support his desire to de-annex. I just don't want us to commit ourselves to more than what we can say. Secondly, I'm curious about maybe legal counsel can help. what would be the distinction between us saying we do not oppose his desire versus we support his desire? I realize support's a little more positive, but...
I think that's exactly the distinction.
Is there a downside to being more positive, to saying we support him?
Well, I think, you know, there is a, from my perspective, so I want to make sure that it could be different. My perspective is since there is another political process, another policy decision from LAFCO, obviously if there is a resolution of support, it's going to mean, I would assume that it would mean one thing to the LAFCO commissioners. If there was a resolution of neutrality, we don't oppose, would have another connotation to the LAFCO commissioners. And then a resolution in protest, of course, would have another connotation. I don't know where you draw the line between oppose and support, but I do sort of think there probably is a line there.
If I'm understanding, you're saying that to say support might mean, be interpreted that we want to get rid of him, which is not our desire specifically.
I understand. And believe me, I think when this comes back on the agenda for formal action, staff will try and give the board as much discretion as to how they want to approach it as we possibly can.
Then my third of four comments is, are we going to work with the applicant and with LAFCO to see that the assessment is paid off prior to de-annexation, or how does that work?
Well, I think what staff's totally perspective, process. Yeah, that's clearly part of the equation, but I think from staff's perspective, what we want to present to the board eventually for their consideration is to go through all of those line items that Mr. Hood is going to present, would theoretically present to his LAFCO commission regarding this, and make sure that to staff's best ability that we have an answer to them to present to this board our best guess of what the information is that responds to those questions, so that the board can fully understand the implications of this, understanding that there would eventually, I think, be an environmental determination, either, you know, negative deck, mitigated negative deck, or an environmental impact report. I just can't, you know, so that we have a clear process, as much information as we can bring to the board regarding what the different elements that the LAFCO Commission is going to consider and how we view those elements, and then come back to the board. On the other hand, you know, it's clearly within discretion of this board to direct staff to bring back a resolution not to oppose or a resolution to support at its next meeting. That's clearly another policy issue that the board has before. I just want to make sure everybody understands that's not before the board today.
Then my last comment is that personally I would rather see us go quickly to a resolution saying non-opposition and not spend any more staff time and legal time on behalf of Mr. Gatcho, since in the end he's going to end up having to pay for all of that. So we're raising his costs really without him having any control over what gets spent. So the quicker and cleaner we can do our part, I think the better.
Then just to add to the conversation about the third bullet is the agreement. So staff would certainly like some direction on that too.
And if I just might add, staff has looked into this at a level. The two items that we see in the immediate are the connection or disconnection of water service from the property, and then the payment of the outstanding assessment from the assessment district. And I've provided a summary of that staff pulled out, and of course that would have to be updated depending on the data attachment. But those being the two major cost items, and then a number of things that council has brought up as potential concerns, including environmental document and its preparation. And that, those items would be then outlined in this agreement, which is the third bullet of staff's recommendation. And I do think that we could resolve those to, I think, a degree that's reasonable for the district's minimizing its exposure to costs and other potential issues, and get that right back to the board at our next meeting. Just so you know.
Mr. Eby, you have it.
I think you've answered most of my questions. The one was about the assessment district, and if he opts out of it, didn't have to pay his part of the bond anymore, do the other people have to pay more? And it sounds like you've got a solution to that. My other question is just general. What are the disadvantages to the district, if any, of this detachment? Do we lose property taxes? Do we lose, just what are the disadvantages?
I'm getting a head shake from the staff that knows in regards to property taxes, and there's no loss of property taxes here. And so the disadvantages, I think, as long as we have a strong agreement, and that as council's outlined, that our customers don't have to pay the cost of processing the detachment, then we see very little. And again, bringing up the point that this property is on the fringe, it won't create an island in the middle of the district and the potential unforeseen problems that might come with that. It's just going to adjust our boundary on its northernmost fringe. And then to ensure that the applicant, and we know that the applicant is the one who's first and foremost are responsible for protecting and ensuring his future interests in water are available, the district, I think, wants to make sure or see some documentation along those lines, so that we're not back in front of this board during the next drought with an emergency reannexation of a property that now might, you see, he's got a 10-acre parcel that he would like to subdivide, and under district policy right now, that's not allowed. So it was a great benefit to Mr. Gasho to go out, process a subdivision. Now, you know, 10 years down the line, who knows what the conditions, he'd come back in with his two parcels or something like that. We want to try to avoid the potential for that happening. But I think we can clear those up in agreement, a little bit more work here with the board's direction to carry forward.
Mrs. Worsing, any questions or comments?
I think all my information is. My main concern is the well, that the condition of the well. That's my main concern.
Well, that would be up to the four property owners who have an interest in it to keep it maintained and operational.
Well, the water availability was my concern.
Yeah. Mr. Trotter.
I think this issue has been discussed thoroughly enough that he knows that we'll support him as long as all the steps are taken. And I think we should leave it at that right now and let him proceed. We could even provide a letter reflecting what's been discussed here. Is that right, Joe?
Well, I think it's, we could obviously do that. But I think staff needs direction, especially on bullet number 2 and bullet number 3, which is prepare appropriate documents. We could certainly prepare a resolution of not to oppose. The question is does the board want staff, and step, by the way, staff recommends this, so that to be some type of agreement between the applicant regarding the expenses, addressing the assessment balance, and termination of district service.
What I suggest will include those things.
Yeah.
Whatever council manager thinks is appropriate, include them in a letter and let the man proceed with this process.
I have one comment, because most of mine are sort of, you know, how do we disconnect? Where are we going to disconnect? How do we collect the assessment? Much of what has been said here, this is a
historic thing. It's a de-annexation or you know, removal from the district. Is this going to, you know, open the proverbial barn door and everybody wants to come here and de-annex? I think that's something that is worthwhile having in the forefront of your
We've done a
thoughts.
Number of these before.
Okay. Well,
we've done a number of these before, and they've never led to wholesale abandonment. I mean,
well, you know, I'm just putting that out for thought, because that is one thing to, you know. And let me reiterate, too, the board position is that we support Summit Station for grannies and eventually subdivisions. We support the GPA. It's the EIR that is so badly flawed. And unfortunately, I guess that ties up the whole process. But, you know, we can't let something that bad, of which you guys paid at least $120,000 of county taxpayer money went into a absolute pitiful document.
When I look at these three bullets that staff are asking us to authorize, I'm certainly in support of the first one. And the second one, prepare other documents as LAFCO may direct, I think would be, in other words, I don't want us proactively going out and doing more work than what LAFCO wants. I just want to keep it minimal. And then the third, I wonder whether payment of outstanding assessment balance really is any of our business. Don't they pay that to the county, or do they pay it to us, or can somebody tell us the answers to that?
Lisa Bogmuda, Assistant Administrator. The assessment district is, we're responsible for the assessment district. What we do is the district initiates the assessments that are placed on their tax roll. So the county does the collections, but they just remit it back to us. When the original assessment, I'll give you a little bit of background on why Mr. Gosho needs to pay his assessment. When the original assessment district was formed, an assessment was assigned to every parcel in the assessment district, and they're responsible for it. It runs with the land. Now, if Mr. Goschel detached from the district and we forgave him, let's say, his assessment, which I would never recommend that, obviously, then we haven't, the assessment district, the remaining property owners have an outstanding debt, and who's going to pay it? Should I re-spread it amongst the remaining property owners? That's not fair. His property was assigned an assessment, and if he detaches, I even spoke with the administration of the bond assessment, and they agreed that he would have to pay it off in full. Just like if somebody sells their property and they decide that they want to pay it off, then they pay it, and then what we do is then we lower the bonds for the remaining property owners. So staff's position would be that that definitely would be a top priority condition for the detachment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Then I certainly support all three bullets.
Okay, so do we have a motion then, Mr. Wynn?
I move that we request staff to carry out their own recommendations to us.
I'll second that.
I'd like to ask a point of clarity. There was also, I think I heard a direction from the board that we could also prepare a letter at this point to LAFCO and the applicant to outline these issues that will have to be taken care of, and then the procedure, which I would say, which I see at this point going forward, is to further define some of these issues. Prepare. It sounds to me as if LAFCO would like to see a resolution that we will not, at least a resolution that we do not object to this detachment, and then again to detail a few of these items here. Now, we staff could write a letter, if so directed by the board, to outline that procedure and at least a tentative level of support for this detachment at this point.
I'll amend my motion to include that language, except I think the procedure needs to come from our LAFCO as opposed to San Diego LAFCO,
yeah,
since they're each independent.
Yeah, and just And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And just for a way of background, the LAFC, the San Diego Local Agency Formation Commission procedures were given to me by LAFCO, our LAFCO, a long time ago as a model for taking a look at all the little issues and figuring out what code sections actually apply out of the Cortese, Hertzberg, Knox Act. So I do believe that you're absolutely correct, although just in my own defense, I believe that this is exactly what LAFCO is going to look at when they define their procedures.
It will be very close.
It'll be very close.
We have a motion for Mr. Wynn.
As amended.
As second. Amended. Is there a second for
second
this motion?
That.
Okay. Second by Mrs. Wersing. Madam Secretary, please call for the vote.
Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director Wersing.
Yes.
Director Trotter.
Yes.
Director Eby.
Yes.
President Verheyen.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Gasho.
Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, moving on to item E2, committee assignments and other kinds of things. Does anybody want to take a break at this point?
It's not necessary for me, thank you.
Ask Mr. Trotter.
Would you like to take a break?
Okay. Everybody? Nobody wants a break, so.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Do I look like I need a break?
No, I don't know. I just, you know. Okay, moving right along. Mr. LeBrun. Item E2.
Thank you, President Verheilig. Item E2 is basically the annual assignment of committees. Committees of the board, both standing and I believe potential for ad hoc committees if the board finds reason for. What we have attached is a couple of documents to help guide this process, and both of these documents were provided to staff by President Verheilig, and the draft committee assignments, if you will, is page 2 of your staff report, and attachment to page 3 are an outline of NCSD possibilities for 2005, which is, I think, policies and priorities. So the first order of business would be to look at the committee assignments, formalize those for the 2005 calendar year, and then second, a discussion about board policy direction and priorities for the year.
Thank you very much, Mr. LeBrun. With that said, then, if you all turn to the committee assignments, I had some phone calls, some emails, and as far as going down, one of the corrections that would need to be made is on the Water Resources Advisory Committee. Mr. Ed Eby has agreed to be the alternate there.
Only if Cliff doesn't want to be.
Only if Mr. Trotter does not want to be the...
That's fine.
Alternate.
That's
okay.
Fine.
So with that, we can change that to Ed Eby. Mr. Trotter has agreed to be the representative to the Chamber of Commerce, so those question marks can be removed.
Now, I notice here it says the Napomo Creek Watershed Steering Committee. We have never formed such a committee. Is this something the board's going to create or what?
No, that's Central Coast Salmon Enhancement
yes.
On their watershed management efforts. They have a steering committee. I feel that since the district is quote, a small portion of that watershed, and we are the recipient of
much of the water coming down off the watershed through our district boundaries, it would be wise to have some representation on the board, even if it's on the steering committee, even if it's just from a observational standpoint.
Okay, so this would be ex officio member?
Or you could say that situation? Actually, I'm a member of the steering committee.
So
anyway,
why don't we just leave it like that?
So
the reason I ask this is because you remember what happened last year when we started talking about drainage and such, and the minute that we actually formally made a committee by the NCSD and invited a member of the NCAC, it became a Brown Act organization, and then we had
right.
all of the restrictions about noticing and public venues and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you really want to I don't know if you want to take their steering committee and put them under that kind of
situation. I sit there as a representative of the California Native Plant Society, not NCSD.
Okay.
But I can act in an observational capacity too, assuming, Mr. Seitz, that doesn't get too complicated.
Let me ask you this. Is it no, the Pomo Creek Watershed Steering Committee, is that an open public meeting with
yeah.
an agenda and all and
right.
all those trappings?
Mm-hmm.
Will there be an alternate for the Chamber of Commerce?
I will do that.
You will be
yeah. Mr. Wynn agreed that even though he's president that he would
okay.
take another hat
okay.
in the event
That's
that
fine.
You were not there.
Yeah.
And I did request that Mr. Eby would also then be an alternate to the Pomo Creek Watershed Steering Committee.
It's just that I'm happy that you guys should go and listen like the fly on the wall and come back and tell us.
Mm-hmm.
But if we form this committee, I think then we've gone a step too far.
Well, just so that you have my understanding.
Yeah, Mr. Seitz, please.
That 1, 2, 3, and 4 are not really committee appointments, but appointments of delegates. Do I have that?
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding. That we're not
yeah.
forming a committee here. That what we're doing
okay.
is appointing delegates to outstanding organizations within the community.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So I think maybe the thought that these are actually committees, I think. It's a good point that Mr. Wynn is bringing up. I don't see these as being committees, but I see them as
okay.
being delegates to
okay.
other organizations.
Then possibly the heading for that group of items should read delegates.
Yes.
To
not standing committees.
Yeah,
right.
Delegates to community committees.
We'll make that change.
Or other committees. I was just taking this off the prior committee assignments. Anyway.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Eby.
Even though we don't have a parks committee, I just have a curiosity.
Well, those haven't been made yet. But that's why they're blank.
Okay, I have a question just generically about parks. Is there a conflict of interest possibility if you live next to the park or within 500 feet of the park and being on that committee?
Well, I don't know that. I'll have to take a look at it, but my guess is that if this is a theoretical committee that isn't going to be taking specific action or recommend, you know, the answer to that would be no, but I think I need to look to take a look at that in a little more depth. I'm not prepared to answer a detailed conflict, but you're right, it's 500 feet within a project. The question that clicks in my mind is whether or not an exploratory committee looking at parks, or assuming the park power generally, because
mm-hmm.
that's what what's at issue here, I think, is ultimately, is does the district petition LAFCO to assume the park power is different than
taking the park.
Well, what the second thing you mentioned is what I'm curious about, is if we were to want park powers and go to LAFCO to petition LAFCO for park powers, would a person living next to the park be excluded from that?
That's what I need to take a look at.
Okay.
This is a advisory committee to the NCAC. It's one of the NCAC's.
Then that should be in the upper column.
Subcommittee.
Right?
So that should. Parks. Is that a delegation then, or is that the formation of a committee?
Neither one. That's a committee formed by the advisory council that anybody in the public can attend.
Yeah, we just
and
send
you a attend, you are a member.
Yeah, I think that's my question is, when I see parks down there and standing committees, is this actually a delegate to the NCAC, or is this an independent district committee?
No.
Okay, now maybe I have this okay. issue.
The question is this going to be a committee that we form here as a standing committee or not? Because the Parks and Rec Subcommittee of the Advisory Council has no delegates. It's simply anybody in the POMO can attend and can vote.
Yes,
period.
Members of the public. And
anybody.
They
well,
give
that,
advice.
That's the intent, then it shouldn't be, in my view, it shouldn't be a committee. It should be
right.
a delegate on a top.
Okay. Well, if you sort of read the difference between ad hoc and standing committees
right.
in our bylaws,
me,
it
yeah, and let me just take
would have fallen under standing committee.
Yeah, let me just. Mr. President, if I might just briefly, from a legal perspective, not trying to influence policy, but go through this. All of these committees that we show as standing committees, once they are formed, are Brown Act committees. Mm. I want to make sure that, and the rule is that they don't need to have a regular meeting time or place. The law has changed about 2 years ago. But they do have to post their agenda 72 hours in advance. I just want everybody to know the distinction.
Okay.
The ad hoc committee assignments down below can only meet at the direction of the board, specific future board action, can only meet at specific board requests in the future. In other words, there would be no the water allocation for commercial mixed uses could only meet if the board at a meeting directed them to do a study and come back with a report.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure everybody understands that there's that's the legal distinction between these committees. As far as being a delegate, we can assign as many delegates to as many organizations as we want, because this isn't going to be anything other than a reporting requirement back to the board as part of our agenda items.
Well, then I'd like to recommend that we move the parks into the upper portion, but I was unable to solicit anybody to
I attend it all the time.
Want to be the attending member?
I attend them every time. Here's the schedule. They meet in San Luis Obispo once a month, and then they meet here.
Yeah, that's for the element. That's the Parks and Rec countywide element meeting schedule.
So we should do both.
Yeah, yeah. Would you care to be the
sure.
representative?
This then is not the Parks and Recreation Committee of the NCAC that we're talking about.
Well, it is.
It's both.
It's both. Yeah, it's.
But,
it's a little confusing.
But the truth is that anybody else here in this board
yeah.
could attend Parks and Rec here in Nipomo, and they've got every bit as much say as anybody else that shows up. It's
yeah. Well, representing the NCSD at the Parks Commission. Different than
we don't mean
the Park and Recreation
no.
Committee.
We don't mean Parks Commission.
No. We go to the Parks Commission as a member of public. We get 3 minutes like any other member of the public, and that's it.
Okay.
This would be on the Rec and Parks Committee. So
Would you like to be the alternate?
No, I wouldn't, because I'm a regular member of the Parks and Rec Committee anyway.
Okay.
I'd like to be not an MCAC affiliate of that.
Yeah, okay. Any, we can leave the alternate blank, but it would be nice to. The problem is now that they meet on a night that I will always be busy.
That's tonight. They meet tonight.
I know.
Yeah, they don't have alternates anyway.
So.
They don't have alternates.
Okay, then, thank you very much. Water Resource Other, that was open, meaning other than Santa Maria Supplemental Water, looking at other water resources, either desal, pipelines from heaven, you know, whatever. But it'd be nice to have a committee to actively explore other technologies, other possibilities.
You and I talked about this some time ago.
Yeah.
My view then was that we should make water resources, supplemental water, just one subcommittee, not divided up into pipeline and others. But if you do want to separate them, I mean, I'm interested in desal. I've done some of the early work on it. And
well,
I'd be happy to continue looking at that. But
I was thinking that, you
wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't you rather keep them together?
Well, the pipeline is a source of water that's a known source of water. The others are maybe a little more brainstorming.
Okay, well, yeah.
Would you care to chair that, Mr. Wynn? And whom do you think would be?
I would like to be the alternate.
Mrs. Wersing would also like to be on the committee with you.
Well, it's not an alternate. She'll be a full member.
Right.
Where that works.
So I think that has it as far as committee assignments. Any that you might be interested in?
Well, yes, I didn't get my email from you, so I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I kind of wasn't sure if all this was all set in stone.
No, it's not. My email, for some reason, was bouncing a lot of things back. I don't know why it was doing it, but.
You need to
probably
update
brain.
You have questions about high school and flooding. Do you want to move those down under ad hoc?
Well, my questions, yeah, well, let's finish those up just real quick, Judith. My reason for the question marks is, do we really even want them at this point in time as a committee? High school, you know, go over with Donna Mills and meet the principal, and you know, it's about it. Go to the board, meet the superintendent, and you know, happy 2005. If you have any questions or need support from NCSD, contact us. Yeah. With regards to flooding, we sort of washed our hands of that whole mess anyway. And
no,
with the Napomo Creek Watershed Steering Committee, that tends to keep us up to date on events about what's happening and possible flooding resolutions. So I thought those two should be just scrubbed, flooding and high school.
Okay.
Okay, now, Mrs. Wersing, you had some desires, and I'm sorry my email didn't get to you.
Well, I'm very much interested in incorporation. I don't know.
I'll give up my position on there if you like.
Yes, I would appreciate
it. Would you like to do that?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Judith. I think that would be an excellent.
I think that would be satisfactory until we get down to the ad hoc committees.
Okay, so then we'll let. Okay, well, then moving down to the ad hoc community assignment, committee assignments. We have water allocation for commercial mixed use, which would if we come forward with, that would be a whole new ordinance and for just for commercial and mixed use. Annexation policy, that would be more thoroughly discussed in the next
possibilities as to should we or should we not update it. And West Test Corridor Design Committee, I don't know why I put that down there, but what the heck. Did you have any interest in?
Well, I was going to, since you and I had the same interest on the water allocation for commercial mixed use, I was hoping that Mr. Wynn.
I would be very happy to. Personally, I don't think we should have a separate policy for that, so it wouldn't make any sense to appoint me to it when I don't think it's needed.
Okay, well, thank you. And, would you so desire
yes,
to work
please.
With me on that? Thank
yes,
you. Great.
Thank you.
So Judith will be the member for the water allocation commercial mixed use. Any other thoughts and ideas?
West Heff Corridor Design, shouldn't that again go up under delegates? That's a standing committee of the advisory
yeah,
council.
Right. Well, actually, it's not.
Yeah, we have.
It's a whole other committee. It's not associated with the NCAC, so to speak. It does provide reports to the NCAC as far as status, but it's a separate committee.
Who formed it?
Richard Holguin, John Bowen.
Well, the advisory council thinks it's a subcommittee of their own.
Okay, well.
But at any rate, it's still a standing committee.
Yeah. It
goes in that category.
Okay, then you're saying the West Heff Corridor Design Committee should go up to the Chamber of Commerce, those
yes.
kinds of folks. Are you still satisfied with
sure.
you and I being?
Sure.
I'll be the member, you'd be the alternate then?
Sure.
Okay.
I have a suggestion, Mr. President.
Yes, Mrs. Worsley.
To have some kind of committee that we can discuss and maybe promote water conservation to the community, such as, you know, maybe putting out some kind of a little press release, you know, to submit something to the press to talk about conservation. And to kind of discuss where the what the district is doing about, you know, the water situation. Mm. So I don't know. Maybe we could have a committee, and we can maybe put a rough, and then have it approved by the board. Of course, maybe something like that.
Thoughts from
the rest of the chair. I'd be glad to join her.
I think that would be Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheilig. I actually was going to suggest a committee right along those lines, and I think probably ad hoc, and I would include, as far as the title of the committee, water conservation
awareness
slash landscape design standards, is I think, as I look more into water use in urban environments, our biggest potential for gain is in the landscape, in landscape designs, and educating our customer base that there are some landscapes that can really save them some money and that type of thing.
So we call it water conservation education and landscape design?
I think yeah, I guess it'd be a long name, but we could even say with water conservation, and then I can work with the committee as they're directed by the board to, you know, come forward. I think the ultimate a goal, a product out of this committee would be landscape design standards and water conservation policy for the district.
Okay, and you expressed a desire to chair, so. Mrs. Worsing would chair, and Mr. Wynn, you
sure.
express a desire to be a member. Thank you.
And that is under ad hoc, excuse me?
That would be under ad hoc.
Thank you.
Now, if I understand what legal counsel was telling us, the board tells us, go away, come up with a plan, bring it back to the board.
Or a recommendation, yeah, any task, recommendation.
Okay.
But the ad hoc committees
cannot meet without specific board direction to do something. Whereas a standing committee in the upper bracket can meet at any time, subject to posting an agenda under the Brown Act, 72-hour notice, you know, and follow the procedures under the Brown Act for the agenda posting.
Now, even if that means two of us getting together to make an agenda, we have to agendize that we're meeting to make an agenda? How does that work?
No. Your meetings have to be... I think it's perfectly appropriate for two board members to get together and make the agenda.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the discussions on the agenda and the resolution of a position or recommendation to the board can only occur at a public meeting of the standing committee.
The only reason I'm asking, John, is, for example, finance and audit, we've never done that. Personnel, we certainly have never done that. And so I want to make sure that if the rules have changed, that we know exactly how they've changed.
No, well, first of all, I'm reminding you what the status of the law is as far as this. If you're going to designate them as standing committees, they need to be operated as a standing committee. It may well be that in the past, these committees operated as ad hoc committees with only direction from the board. But if I'm wrong, then we need to clean this up and make sure that if we are a standing committee that we post agendas. Because they are public meetings. On the other hand, you know, you could move, I mean, I'm just giving you the distinction. You could move any of these standing committees into the ad hoc committee framework. You just have to understand that you can't meet without specific direction from the board to meet and to come back with a report.
Then what would you think, Mr. Chairman, of moving both finance and personnel into that category? Because I don't think we want to be discussing personnel issues, announcing everybody, we're going to talk about our employees, come join the meeting.
Then, yeah, I would recommend that we do move those down into ad hoc. Even though the Finance Committee, our findings are agendized as far as, you know, draft budget, draft audit, and final budget, final audit. So those are agendized, but Cliff and I, looking over it and talking to each other on the phone, you know, that's how we look over the preliminary data and the final data, is individually and by phone call.
I just want to make sure, though, that which is fine, like when the audit comes up, just as a procedural matter, the audit comes up and you're going to review the audit as an ad hoc committee, that there be direction from the board prior to their review of the audit, that they review the audit, come back and make a recommendation to the board. Mm. That's the, you know, ad hoc committees are task specific. They don't have continuing general jurisdiction without board specific board direction. Standing committees are those types of committees that have continuing jurisdiction. And if something comes up and they want to meet and make a recommendation to the board, they need to go through the agenda requirements of the Brown Act.
Yeah, as far as making the recommendation.
Right. Yeah.
But they could meet.
A standing committee could meet to set the agenda. They can't meet without complying with the open meeting laws to come back and make a recommendation to the board. I just want to make sure. It's a fine distinction, but there is a clear distinction in the Brown Act between standing committees and ad hoc committees.
Yeah. Sounds like you get handcuffed no matter what you do. Anyway, without taking up too much more time, I think we can, I think finance and audit is more appropriate as a standing committee than an ad hoc committee.
Fine.
I think that's your call, Larry. President.
Well, thank you, Mr. Seitz. I appreciate that. Yeah. So, okay, we do have changes, though. Parks and the West Teff Corridor Design Committee were moved up to the delegates, if you want to call it that. High school and flooding were deleted, and we added a ad hoc committee for water conservation and landscape uses design.
And personnel was moved down.
And personnel was moved to the ad hoc committee area.
Might want to ask for any public comment before.
Any public comment on all this mess? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any other board comments?
The staff will sanitize this list now.
Staff will sanitize with my support, believe me. Do we need a aye vote on this?
Yes, just a voice vote will be fine. It'd be a motion to approve
the delegation.
Just one thing. Sorry. Under recommendations, the example given is that the San Luis County clerk must be notified, and that's not accurate. It needs to be sent to the flood control district of the county. They in turn will give it to the Board of Supervisors to vote for an approval, and only then is it recorded by the county clerk. Thank you.
My recommendation would be that there be a motion to approve the standing committees and the delegates to these various other non-district committees. That's the first prize. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend any motion to approve the standing committees because they will just be directed on an ad hoc basis. So there should be no formal board action to...
You mean the ad hoc committees?
Right.
Motion to approve the ad hoc
committees. No motion to approve the ad hoc committees.
Just the standing and the delegates to the community committees.
Is there any use in saying following ad hoc committees are envisioned for the future and shall be called by the board at its pleasure?
Well, I think that any formal action on the ad hoc committees may just automatically move them into a standing committee. So I just want to, I'm hesitant to make any formal motion regarding those.
Move the approval of the standing committees.
And the delegates.
And the delegates as agreed.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Eby, motion by Mr. Wynn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, so be it. Thank you. Moving right along here. I sat down and thought about some possibilities for 2005 where we might want to go on certain items. These are not prioritized. It's just some thoughts on my part. I hope you've all had a chance to read these. Number four was my reasoning for revisiting the annexation ordinance that we have. Number five is a forefront of a lot of the community email right now on incorporation. Where do we go from here? We do have a incorporation group, Mike Wynn and Judith, and hoping that you can get together and formulate some thoughts and ideas as to where the community, along with other public, Mr. Murray is no longer here, but he was here for a short time. But it seems like incorporation is just in the forefront of everybody's thoughts. Item number six was something that
sort of popped up from community input, replace the landscape screening down at the Southland Wastewater Treatment Plant from the Fremont poplars to evergreen-type native plants. And then number seven was brought forth by Mr. Trotter that we need some line items in our budget to, which would be used for funding routine maintenance of district facilities, both stationary and the kind on wheels, such that they're always looking in excellent condition. Of course, after a rain like this, you know, vehicles tend to get pretty muddy. But
these are all covered by budget items, but I think it's appropriate to increase the budget in certain areas.
Or possibly make sure that it is expended.
Hmm.
You know, you can set a dollar amount, but if you never bother to spend it, it's wasted.
This has come up before.
I know. Also, there was some thought, item number two would be to, like, set up a, this will get out in the community and will really be deluge, but a fund to support community requests for financial assistance for projects that would benefit the community, or at least within the district boundaries. In other words, for creek cleaning.
Let's give an example. Let's take that as an example. Mm-hmm. We funded the creek cleaning activity this past year.
Right.
They did not meet the requirements that we asked them to meet. They did not include us in the planning. They did not finish the creeks. They left debris underneath Thompson that the sheriff had to go out and make sure got cleaned up.
We got a lousy CCC crew this year.
Well, but it used to be done mostly by volunteers, but since we started paying, fewer volunteers show up.
Yeah, well, the C's are there mainly to do the heavy stuff. Mm. They didn't get all that they should have gotten. They just didn't have the leadership and the ambition to put their backs into it this year. Mm. It was very unfortunate. While the prior year, I mean, they did a fantastic job.
Mm. Mark, the remedy is pay the volunteers.
So, but what I wanted was a more formal method of getting these requests into the district budget rather than just somebody coming to me and saying, you know, you think, well, it's something I could bring before the board. If we have a fund set up with a dollar amount to be determined, then that's a method for bringing these requests to the board through the committee, which would then, you know, scrutinize them for complete. I know it tends to build a bureaucracy, and maybe it's a little more than needed, but
that
I would rather have that than last minute come to Lisa and say, do you think we can appropriate X dollars for something?
My concern, Mr. President, is that we are enterprise funded.
Yeah.
We do not have the legal right to set up a general fund out of which we can pay monies to various applicants.
Well, like I said, this is just a possibility. You know, I think it's up to staff to sort of look at this, and if there's no reasonable way to set up a funding source, then it's scrubbed.
We get a little bit of money that might be treated like that. For example, from the cell tower contract.
Just broad, Mr. President, if I might, just broadly, we have water, sewer, solid waste, some street lighting,
and some drainage, just mainly operating these drainage basins. In order to, you know, and our, the long and the short of it, I'm not going to go through a long dissertation this year, is that if you're going to provide funding from those source, you know, those are the general categories in which we operate. And clearly, if we're going to be, for example, I would be very cautious about taking $60,000 and giving it to CDF. Because we don't operate the fire department or something. But if there was a nexus to it, you know, to the operation, like we customarily do street creek cleaning and those types of things, because we have solid waste, and there's a nexus between that, and not only that, we have a funding mechanism to do it. So I just think, what you know, if you're going to set monies aside as part of the budgetary process, which is fine with me, I don't have any problem with that. This has to be, everybody has to be real clear that, you know, when, if the community can't come in and say, you know, we want to you to contribute to parks or the baseball teams or the local basketball youth network or those types of things, that's not going to be within the possibility unless we adopted recreation powers, you know.
No, it would have to be for something that would fall under the enterprise areas that we exercise.
Yes.
And, but, yeah, it's a thought for staff to, you know, put in the back of the mind and think about as to how we want to fund these things and get the line item in the budget, possibly, for these kinds of grants or whatever you want to call them. It was just a thought, so. But with regards to the replace the landscape screening at the Southland Wastewater Treatment Plant, since Native Sons has agreed to propagate the plants that we select, what I would like to do is get on the next meeting agenda a request for bid with regards to developing a landscape plan. Then once we get the quantity of trees, we can give that information to Native Sons, and then how we purchase the plant material, either through a nonprofit organization or a landscape nursery, is up to the board. But I would like that on the next agenda, that we develop, we go out for somebody to develop a landscape plan. Thank you.
What did you have in mind for eight?
Eight, acquire Jim O'Miller Park and Adobe Plaza parcels. You know, that's been knocked around for some time. I know you were talking about it during your tenure. And I feel that we have an ideal opportunity for, if we ever did really want to exercise parks powers, for acquisition of two parcels that would be great for a downtown community park area. One could hold a community center, so to speak. The other could be their traditional type of park with a gazebo for Mike Wynn's band or something to play in, stuff like that. But right now, outside of the county finally gets around to mow these things after everything goes to seed and is dried, so the weed seeds are there for next year. It seems like they're just an absolute waste of space when they could be utilized
I've got some thoughts on that. Maybe John can tell us if this will work or not, but it seems to me that if we're going to incorporate, the core of the incorporation will be the NCSD and the powers that it has. And it seems to me that one of the powers that we'd like to have once we incorporate it, would be park powers. And I'm just wondering, is this a good place to get our feet wet and get the experience in small parks? Could we get park powers and just have a little pocket park, say, and then learn how to do it and expand later to bigger areas?
I think all of those are possibilities. You know, when the district was formed, our petition for formation included parks and recreation. So our residents authorized us to assume that power when we were formed. It is now categorized with LAFCO as a latent power, a power that we have but unexercised. In order to exercise that power, whether it be limited parks, like we have limited drainage, so I think that the reality is that we could have limited parks. We're not the only player in this, though. So sort of keep in mind that when we take something to LAFCO, LAFCO, again, just as they do with this de-annexation, has the power to approve, disapprove, or approve with conditions, you know. So we would have to go through LAFCO to see what they would want. One of the things that clearly that LAFCO will have to have is a financial model to maintain, to actually operate parks and rec. In other words, we would have to go there with a financial plan that they would approve, an assessment district, a special tax, however we were looking at funding that. I think ultimately the trick will be is whether or not LAFCO would allow us to assume limited park, or whether they would require us to, if we're going to exercise it, exercise general parks and recreation, and i.e. accept the transfer of the county parks. I'm not saying one way or the other how it would work out, but if I was to take a look at, you know, the key issues, it would be funding and the scope of the actual power.
Well, I'd sure like to learn more about what the possibilities are there, because I think an ideal way to do it, if legally were possible, is to start off with a very small park capability and learn the ins and outs of it before we make a big mistake and bite off the whole regional park down here. And I think if we could do it, it would be a great way to get started. And I know there's a lot of, I know one particular 501 group that's starting up right now that is specifically interested in pocket parks, and they might be interested in voluntary maintenance, for all I know. So that's something I'd like, I don't know who does it, but I'd like somebody to explore further to see what we're allowed to do, what we might be allowed to do.
Mr. Wynn?
Just to bring you up to date on what we get up to this point, the easiest pocket park for us to pick up would actually probably be the Kaminaka GPA, which would give us 30 acres and a well that's already there for us. But it is outside the district. It's not something we could do immediately. When we looked at doing this here, the county said the days that they would pass it over to us for a dollar is gone. They would want full commercial value if we wanted those parcels. And the number that they used, it wasn't a firm offer, was in the range of $1 million.
Figured that.
I don't think we want to go that route. So the next route that we looked at was this. They want the 4 acres plus that we have over here at Southland in order to put in their overpass, full highway exchange. Would they make a trade of that for these 2 acres here? That would involve some expense to us in terms of moving some of our facilities and such, but that might be doable. And then the thought came this. When we incorporate, and I don't know when that's going to be, nobody has an idea. Yeah. These two parcels come to us with a deal. Mm-hmm. So we would be trading something that we're going to get in exchange for parcels out here that we would be able to sell to Caltrans or whoever at great benefit to the district. So once we figured that part out, we just kind of stopped and we didn't take it any further.
Yeah, well, like I said,
I still like the idea. I think Ed's idea having
would be nice
trial
to,
balloon is a great idea.
See if we could do trial
where balloon. And when is the question.
Where, yeah. This was just a
quote, possibility. A lot of people say that many people that I've talked to have said, why doesn't NCSD do something about the Jim O. Miller Park? You guys can get it and do something with it. It should be better than what it is now. So.
And if I might answer,
Mr. LeBert.
Along that line, in particular with the Jim O. Miller Park, I've passed that sign now for the 3.5 months I've worked here and seen that proposed park sign. Of course, Jim O. Miller, one of the original forming directors, I believe, of the district, and with the district's 40-year anniversary, I think this would be the appropriate time. However, as far as Director Eby's idea on obtaining limited parks power, I think the other thing we'd see is that the county would say, you want it, you got it, all or nothing. We don't know. We can pursue that. At the same time, as we just had our discussion on committee assignments, we move parks up to be appointments to the NCAC parks. We could, in fact, look at that in two ways. One, that we might have a subcommittee or ad hoc committee, however it be, of directors that further explore the district's options in supporting parks and supporting the broader community effort towards parks, looking at things the district could do as far as water rate structures, and we've looked at that a bit already with our rate setting. We'll further that discussion in our next workshop. Additionally, though, in how parks can affect our, again, we're a water district at this point, water, wastewater, our primary functions at least. But parks and open spaces in general have impact, especially in our sub-area of the Santa Maria Basin, for recharge and for protecting water quality and the quality of our groundwater basin in particular. So I think there are some elements there that the district can further explore to better define our support of parks in the community. So a possibility then for an ad hoc, again, a committee specific to the board to bring back information to the board as to how we can work with our community to support these parks efforts.
Yeah, it'd be something we can always add on. Mm-hmm. But I have to agree. And if the world was ideal and we had a beautiful community center and a beautiful community park over there, that would be a very big attraction for commercial to come into the downtown area here, whereas right now it almost seems like Hades would have to freeze over before the first one moves in. So anyway, it's a thought. With that, no further discussion on item E2. Any public comment? Mr. Blair, thank you.
Bob Blair, Randy, just a comment on, saw Lisa shaking her head here. It's very specific in state law what you can use with the money that this district brings in. This district, you cannot take sewer funds, water funds, garbage funds, and become a social welfare advocate for the demands of maybe a minority group of this community. If you really want to bring business into this community, lower the fees, lower the county fees, lower the water fees, lower a whole bunch of fees, and you will see a lot of business come in here. The fact that there's a park across the street isn't going to make much difference. You want to see business come in here, do something to bring business in. Give them some incentive. And the other thing is, we may be second-class citizens out in Summit Station when it comes to delivering our property, but it seems like people want to tax us to support things down here like Pocket Park, Jim Miller Park. That's going to take a two-thirds vote. I don't think we're going to be too anxious to do that. This is, like I said, this is not a social welfare organization. This was created to provide services that people need, not to provide social welfare for things that people think are pie in the sky. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. Blair. Any other public comment?
Diane Brandt. With regard to what you were talking about earlier for looking for funds and for people to clean the creeks, I just wanted to mention, I know that Nipomo High School juniors and seniors have to do 25 or 50 hours of community service prior to graduating, and there's a source of some real strong boys that, you know, are putting boxes together up at Domino's Pizza to fill their 50-hour requirements. So, you know, you might look into that if you need some creek cleaning. And I make it known at the high school that there's a community service that needs to be done. And the other thing is regard to the closed session item of initiation of litigation.
We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Oh, okay.
We will take public comment prior to going into closed session.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you. Okay, moving on to item E3. Mr. LeBrun.
Thank you, President Verheilig. The item in front of you is exploring the question as to whether to televise district board meetings or not. This item has been considered in front of the board numerous times in the past. Most recently was last spring, I think, or last year, February 2004. This item was initiated to be put on the agenda. Received a proposal from AGP Video that they had told me that the previous general manager requested, and then with the direction from the president to put that item on the agenda, it is here before you today. I looked into a few things before bringing this to you here today. One was, and I don't think my statement's real clear about this, I tried to find out if there were other games in town, if there were other production companies. What I found was it does not appear so, at least not being used by public entities within our county. AGP seems to have that going. Now, there is, I think, one exception, and if I'm not mistaken, in Oceano, I believe they have a volunteer who actually makes the recording and then provides that, I believe, to AGP to make it available on the public cable channel. We made a call to Charter Cable in San Luis Obispo to attempt to find out how many cable customers there might be within the district, and we did not get that information back. I've done a calculation here based on AGP's proposal to us. If you look at the proposal, they give a cost for a two-hour meeting, a basic rate cost of $585, and then after 2.5 hours, there's an additional charge of $120 an hour. With those numbers in mind and looking at our typical agenda and time for our meetings, I estimate that regular recording of our meetings might be as much as $1,500 on a monthly basis. I then took that and just put it in a basis for what it would mean to an individual customer's water bill, not suggesting that that's how we'd fund this by raising rates by any means, but just as a basis for consideration. Actually, funding for televising our meetings can come from our out of our funds that we receive from our cell site contract agreements. I think that makes good sense there. Then I tried to assess what the benefit to the district and to its customers of televising the meetings might be. That's my last paragraph there. It's difficult. It's difficult to assess that without knowing, again, how many of our customers might have cable. And I think that's one consideration. The other is these meetings would not be proceeding live on cable and would not allow a real-time interaction of somebody at home watching the TV. So it would be just a record of our meetings. And so then looking at that and considering that, I want to make sure that the board understands staff is making a complete record as we go forth right now. We're recording this in a digital format. We've checked into this, and we can post those MP3 digital files straight up to our website for regular listening for anybody who might have questions about how a decision was made or what the discussion was if they were not able to be here. And in addition, along those lines, and we've been making audio recordings, of course, by tape format or digital format since the beginning of this district. And on average, we receive about 2 requests a year at this time for copies of those digital recordings of our meetings. So we don't tend to, I think our controversial items tend to be controversial to an individual. Folks will tend to show up and be here for that item, and if they can't, and again, I think that's limited, they can receive a recording from us. Or in the future, go right to our website and download that recording. I'd like to amend the written recommendation I have here, and might be the best time after some further board discussion, but I'll go ahead and give it a try here. And that is to be more specific. The staff feels that what I'd recommend to the board is that we consider televising specific meetings and workshops in 2005. One that comes to mind specifically is our rate. We're doing a rate study right now. We'll have eventually a public hearing on a new rate structure, and I think that that's going to be a broad issue, an issue of broad interest across our customer base. I think that might be a nice a trial recording opportunity for us, and then have those tapes made available through the 45-day, I had that right, we have a 45-day comment period there after our rate hearing. Did I have that right? Or do we have?
I think.
Is there an opportunity? Again, I'm trying to think, are we going to have an opportunity where somebody can review that tape and then actually be able to come to our board, be educated by it, and come to our board to facilitate a decision?
At a minimum, there would be a two-hearing process. There would be the introduction and the adoption. Likely, there would be a workshop with some specific board direction in order for us to come back with an introduction. The issue of the 45-day notice that Michael has raised is going to be clearly addressed by the Supreme Court. They have this case up here called Bighorn Desert Water Company. I don't know the full name of it, but I am following it. That case will identify the appropriate procedures for adopting user rates. I want to make sure everybody understands there's 2 types of rates. There's connection charges or capacity fees, and then there's the monthly user rates. The Supreme Court in the Shasta case, it was actually a Shasta Community Service District case, ruled or adjudged that Prop 218 does not apply to capacity charges or connection fees. So this is the 45-day issue that Michael's bringing up on the notice and the protest hearing. The Supreme Court is now looking actively at the application of user fees. The Attorney General, just for a brief history, I don't want to belabor this, the Attorney General a couple years ago opined from the Attorney General's position that user rates based as a commodity charge, in other words, the more you use, the more you pay, not a flat rate, was not subject to Prop 218. The Supreme Court is now taking a look at that issue.
Hey, Kirsten. Excuse me, second. Kirsten is leaving.
Mr. Trotter.
And it ties into what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Before she leaves,
we need to.
Can I make a comment here?
Please.
To disrupt things?
Please.
I think both Kirsten, representing the Adobe Press and other publications, and Stephanie, the Tribune, have done an excellent job of depicting what we do here. Mm-hmm. And they should be commended for that. And it ties into what we're talking about right now, because I think the issues of MCSD have been very accurately depicted in the various articles.
Yes, they have.
The two ladies should be applauded for their work.
And I certainly want to commend both Stephanie and Kirsten for their
coverage, very, very thorough coverage of NCSD meetings, up to the point when you can have to leave.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. LeBrun, you're sort of...
I think it's maybe to wrap up my recommendation is then for the board to consider televising specific meetings in the coming year, and at this point, though, staff's recommendation is not to enter into a contract to have regular coverage of our board meetings by AGP video. And I have to apologize. I'm surprised not to see a representative of AGP video here, and I have to believe that they did not get a copy of our agenda in order to... I would expect that either the two principals in the company or one or both would be here today if they had received our agenda, so that would be a mistake on my part.
Any comments?
Yeah.
From directors?
A couple of things. On Channel 21, and I can't tell you the exact schedule, but AGP made a presentation to Oceano CSD, and that presentation and the discussion that follows is out there for people to look at, and I think you can get some idea. I realize they would make us a separate presentation, and it would be geared for us, but it'll give you the flavor of what they offer. Secondly, for me to make my mind on this, I would need to know some really some data. The first thing I would need to know is what percentage of our ratepayers actually get cable. I mean, is this something that everybody would pay for but only 30% would receive, or is it much higher than that? I don't know. But I do know that on the Mesa, there's many areas that don't get cable service, and they would be expecting to, they would have to pay in their rates.
Or if they'd watch.
I watch Channel 21 religiously, but my kids think it's weird. Most families wouldn't watch it that much, but they could.
That's right.
The next thing I would need to know is, I would like, if staff would be willing to do it, to go back over the past 12 months and tell us how long our meetings added up to. Because when I made a rough study, it's rare that a meeting goes less than 4 hours. We've had a number that have gone 6 hours. And if you calculate those plus the special meetings, I ended up with a minimum of $30,000 a year without incorporation being put out there and without a rate study being put out there, which is a good chunk of change. And again, in an enterprise system, can we justify taking $30,000 out of just anywhere, or how does that work?
I'll leave this to Lisa for comment. She's not here. So I think that the most likely way that it would come out from a lawyer's perspective would be through an administration. In other words, the water department, the sewer department, the solid waste department, all these departments contribute to the administration. Mm-hmm. And I think that so there would be by default, there would be an allocation amongst all of the departments.
So the bottom line for my comment is I would definitely support the staff recommendation that we get started by televising special meetings, see what it costs, see how that goes, and then if we transition into every single meeting, that's a step we'd take later.
And try to determine how much of the public actually watched it, if that's possible.
It's probably not very high. Even if 100% of our customers receive cable, I think you're the exception, I would say the rule is probably Channel 21 or whatever channel it would be viewed on is probably under 20%. Yes, Mr.
I've had a lot of people ask me about this, and mainly people have complained to me about they can't attend the meetings because they work or so forth, and the only people that attend the meetings are the rich, the retired, or the reporters. And that could be the case. But the problem is that people don't get to see the meetings. The perceived problem is they don't get to see the meetings because they're at work. So one of the issues that's been suggested, and it's not on the agenda, so we can't talk about it, but it would be night meetings, like many of the other CSDs do, I think. Then the other is this, which I think is a valid way to get information to the people, because they can see it on playback rather than the real time, because they play this back several times during the week. But I think the real issue is to whether it's a benefit. I don't think we can guess and say we don't think this. I think you could pretty inexpensively find out the benefit of the tape or night meetings by putting a flyer in the building saying, if we televise these meetings, would you watch it? You could have three questions on there. You could have a question, do you have cable TV, number one. Number two, if the NCSD meetings were televised, would you watch it? And number three, would you prefer to have night meetings so that other than the rich, retired, and reporters could show up and participate? I would recommend that sort of thing before you take any step. I don't have any objection to televising the special meetings that you talked about. I think that's an excellent idea. But I think you need to go one step beyond that and get really a quasi-scientific input from the people who pay our bills, pay our salaries, to see would they make use of this. I think it would be a pretty easy thing to do, and in 1 or 2 months you could get some kind of an answer. And that's what I would be willing to vote on, is something that had some basis, not just my guess, because I know I watch stuff on Channel 21, haven't got a clue if my next door neighbor does, but you could find out.
I would add my voice to Ed's, sorry.
No,
I would join Ed in asking for staff to agendize the discussion of night meetings. We've tried them when I was here on the board, and they were not very successful, but I think it's something we need to revisit. I'd be very happy to discuss it.
How do you know when a certain district or public entity is going to be on Channel 21?
They publish the schedule.
Where?
It's on 21. Telegram Tribune.
It's on the website, too. They have a website where they, for 2 days in advance, they publish their schedule, so you know what's going to be on.
The only time I watched Channel 21 is when I stumbled on it.
Yeah, and then you're immediately served by it. Mrs.
Yes.
Worsing?
This has been discussed several times during the past few years. This looks very bleak with the amount of money, but the cable view, people who have cable, subscribe to cable, is continually on the increase. There was a figure at one time that I thought was very promising a couple of years ago. And when we ran for re-election, a lot of people commented that they saw us on television. So there was a lot of response, and they enjoyed watching that. So there was but as long as it's not on there, nobody's going to watch it, and they don't know about it. So I think that we should do the special meeting, consider that, and then kind of look further into like what we've discussed. And I like the survey type of thing put into the billing to get a kind of a idea of what people would be interested in. Because people really are interested in our community. They just really don't know much about it.
Okay. Mr. Trotter, any comments? And I guess we're at the position now where we need a motion to look into the possibilities and the costs of televising specific meetings of interest, and putting a flyer or some returnable method in our billing to ask for the information of cable, would you watch it, so on and so forth. So we need a motion.
I move that we take that step, that we... Oh, public comment?
I'm sorry, public comment.
Well, I don't consider myself rich, retired, or a reporter, any of those three. I consider myself being here because I've had direct impact on my lives as a result of the district, so I take exception with what you're saying, Mr. Eby. I don't fit any of those categories. And I have plenty of other better things to do than being here, coming here, attending. I don't disagree with what you're saying relative to taking a survey. I would say that all of us in Summit Station not only don't we have cable, we don't have access to cable. So I would be very specific on the question about cable. Do you have access to cable? Because if you choose to not be part of cable because it goes by your street, that's one thing. But if you don't even have access to it, all of us in Summit Station are obviously on satellite if we want anything other than Channel 6 or occasionally Channel 12 or 3. So I would just suggest that, you know, and as a ratepayer, I certainly would not be very happy paying for something that I can't even get access to. So that's just my public comment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bischoff. We have a first.
Actually, my motion was that we do support the staff recommendation that we explore televising the special meetings and asking to the staff give us the factual information in terms of how long our meetings lasted in the past, so we would have some information for seeing whether this should expand or not.
Mm-hmm. And putting a flyer in.
And yes, I would like to see a flyer before it's put in, though.
Yeah, I would like to review that just to make sure that it's.
I think we'll run into some substantial criticism if we spend this $1,500 or whatever it turns out to be, and the people equate it to their water bill or their water and sewer bill. There'll be great criticism for that. I have my judgment.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Mr. Eby seconds. Mr. Wynn made the motion. Madam Secretary, would you call for the vote, please?
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Eby?
Yes.
Director Trier?
Yes.
Director Morrison?
Yes.
President Harley?
Yes. Moving on to manager's report. Mr. LeBrun, I'm going to turn it right over to you.
Thank you, President Verheilig. With the manager's report for this meeting, I put forth that I think some of the standing information I share with the board, and in addition, I presented a table, fairly lengthy table, titled "The Projects and Priorities for 2005," and this is from your manager's perspective. Let me just hit a few highlights of the overall report. We've got as attachment one a summary of the service requests and water allocations for this water year, which began October 1st and will run through September. There was a single residential home approved since the last time you saw this summary report, and actually two more since the preparation of the report, two more single family residences on 10,000 square foot lots. These are not shown on the report, but those were processed since the preparation of the report. I wanted to add one note to the administrative, and that was on Saturday, January 8th, President Verheilig and Vice President Eby and your general manager attended new director training, and that was put on by the San Luis Obispo chapter of the Community Services District organization held up in Templeton last Saturday. I thought that was a very informative training. And actually, staff counsel, Mr. John Seitz, is a counsel to the organization and does quite a bit of the presentation. And I found that many of the districts that don't have regular legal counsel use the opportunity there to, I think Mr. Seitz is the most popular presenter of the day, and believe it or not, he actually ran overtime just a smidgen as he went on. One other administrative highlight, and this is auto pay program. This is something that staff is pursuing in response to customer requests for allowing auto payment of water bills through direct withdrawal from customer savings or checking accounts. And this will help our customers who, we have, of course, a customer base that is not always in our area. Maybe it's that retired fraction of our customer base that might tend to be out of the area for months at a time, and that makes it difficult for them to pay bills on time, and a number of other customers who might have reasons to request auto pay.
Will the customer get a record of what was paid?
Yeah, the way the system will work is the customer will receive will look just like a bill. It'll be a record of their read and of what we will be billing them and what we'll have to do and make sure that there is it is different from a bill, because what we've heard is that customers will say, "Oh, I got a bill again," and they'll pay their bill, and so it'll say on it, "Not a bill," and then it will say, you know, if you disagree with this, if you will, assessment of your bill, contact us by this date. If we don't hear from you, auto withdrawal will occur on this date. So it'll give the customer an opportunity to refute the bill before the withdrawal is made. The field activity report, as you all know, it's been an excellent winter from a water district standpoint. Plenty of rain, however, that of course challenges our field staff, and we have power outages and the additional rainfall. We're fortunate that our sewer system doesn't have a lot of inflow from storm flow. That is by way of a well-maintained system, I believe. However, at the same time, our staff, our field staff, were certainly challenged over these the last 3 weeks with power outages and copious amounts of rainfall. I've summarized one New Year's Eve event that they handled, I think, quite well. And the summary issue, or the summary point to be made, is that no sewage spills or water service interruption occurred during this period of time. We have also in your field activity report, I've attached as attachment 2 a summary of monthly precipitation data and annual totals for 2003, 2004, 2005. This is an expansion of the information I included in the last manager's report. It comes from the National Weather Service website, and I selected just a few of their locations that I think pertain to us. And look at that real quick. So what I've got is Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Maria stations. And you can see that, again, December was an excellent rainfall month, and I think that's continued now into the new year, as we all know. We're not doing quite as well. If you look at Santa Maria, we're as of the end of December, we were 50% of our rainfall year, or total rainfall year, and you see that actually to the north and south of us, they're doing a bit better. I watch rainfall more intently now than ever. The National Weather Service website is a favorite of mine. I think each morning, each evening, it's my last thing I do and first thing I do. Finally, I've got a well site summary here. I've included as in attachment 3 a summary of our pumping for the year. And we're nearly 3,000 acre feet of pumping, total pumping on this year. And it's the actual number, as you can see there at the bottom table. First we have the town division, and then the Black Lake division, and then cumulative. And our acre feet of pumping this year are 2,907, or 2,908 acre feet. I don't have it here for you, but I did pull up our water sales, or our metered water sales for the year, and those total, it totals 2,800 acre feet, and the difference there is about a 3.6% difference, if I calculated that right, between pumping and delivery. So that I think that's a nice tight number for what would be considered
that's pretty normal
water loss. And the caveat there is that our pumping totals, our metered total, since our we've got a 2-month billing cycle, and one billing cycle goes over the calendar or overlaps the calendar year, the numbers don't line up exactly, but I think we're clearly in the ballpark, and we've got a small amount of lost water there. Bit of a Hermit Well update. Of course, the weather and the holidays kept the drill crude down more than they'd like to be. I've included here in italics a update from Mr. Tim Cleese's office. He is monitoring the growing progress on the district's behalf. And as of this date, which is Thursday, January 6th, the driller was, where do we have it? I think we're down to about 50, or about, actually it doesn't have it right here. We're going to be reaming down to 1,500 feet. At this time, they're at about 1,000 feet. Making slow progress, but expecting to be doing casing, complete the reaming, and then start casing the well on or about Friday, January 21st. Then the next, projects and priorities for 2005, I've laid those out in two categories, one administrative and the other is operations. And operations, it's a not a great page break. Page 5 at the bottom is where operations begin, so you can see that. I've assigned rough priorities 1, 2, 3, and this is just to give the your honorable board an idea of the number of different projects that the district has ongoing and planned for the 2005 year. There is an add, and I'm sure as I learn more each day on the job here, I'll find other items that I've missed
that,
here.
That is excellent. Yeah. That's well done.
Thank you.
Very well done.
I do want to bring to your attention one item I will be adding that I failed to put on this spreadsheet, and that is addressing the issue of sewering in our prohibition area and getting hookups where mains exist and supporting or putting mains in place where they don't exist in order to facilitate those hookups. A brief on that, there's a prohibition area that we have in our district, and it's an area where septic tanks are prohibited. And that was done back in the 1985 timeframe as this district took on the controversial issue of sewering our community and was quite successful in that we achieved a sewer. But at the same time, there are a number of homes that existed at that time on septic tank that remain on septic tank that are within that prohibition area. Additionally, there are vacant lots where our sewer mains are not run, and for an individual to build on that lot, they have to be on the sewer, and then it can get very costly for an individual owner to extend a sewer main. And I will be researching those issues further. I've had some contact from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, my old agency, about this issue. They'd like to see the district being more proactive, and I will be researching that and seeing what we can do with district support and what fashion that support can take. And as far as supporting those mains, I think that facilitates our fill-in of our service area, orderly growth, those types of issues, and again, protecting our groundwater basin. With that, if there are any items, and it quite very well may be that I've left off the priorities list, anything you see there that might glare, I'd appreciate those inputs or any other inputs that the board might have. Thank you.
Okay. Board, have any comments, thoughts? I'm sure, I've got about half a page's worth, but I'd like to start with Mr. Wynn since he's chomping at the bit. Mr. Wynn.
Either way is fine. I realize we can't discuss these things, so I'll just lay them out, and if you want to agendize any of them for future purposes, that's fine. I note the letter that we received from Mr. Davis on January 10th.
Sorry.
And perhaps the general manager would rather comment on that himself. All I want to say is that I notice in it that he talks about continued talking, and he gives us a whole long range of agencies, and he's going to keep us advised, which sounds to me as though our contract is not complete, even though he's presented us with his final report, and...
Well, it's only a draft final.
It's a draft final.
Yeah.
So how much more money are we, is this a blank check for, how much longer do we continue? That's a question, we can't discuss it today, but...
And let me just give, that is something I've missed. I did provide to the board today with a cover memorandum from myself. I received that letter from Mr. Davis yesterday via fax, and my intent here is, well, what Mr. Davis is looking for is whether the direction from the board has changed. And so what I've done is I want to forward this letter to the board so that it can be considered, and then I will have that on the agenda for the 26th to get that direction from the board. Mr. Davis has not talked to me about any contract extension or otherwise. I think he felt that he didn't have that full information in regards to Assembly Bill 2115 and what that would mean to our incorporation study, and now he's quite pointed about what it does mean, and we want the board to have that information.
I just know that his time is valuable, that he has billable hours like any other professional.
Right.
And if we got a supplemental bill, I would be concerned to know just how far that would go. That's a comment.
Thank you.
Next, we talked about the drainage basin that was off the south end of the bluff. There was a task force that went out and looked at it. I reported back to you that there were evidently drainage problems that were coming off of that area, off of Primavera, and there was a mosquito abatement issue. That was brought to Public Works. It took them 3 days to get all the sludge and the accumulation out of that basin, but it has been cleared out. They discovered that the percolation vents at the bottom were quite small, about the size of a quarter, and inadequate, and so they're going to redesign that, open that up for better perk. I don't know if our council is going to comment on LAFCO's response to our summit station concerns, or is that something we'll talk about at a later date?
Well, I think that would be probably discussed.
Very well. That's fine.
I can,
Next, there are ongoing discussions about the Parks and Rec element update for the county. The next one will be Wednesday, January 19th in San Luis Obispo, and at 6 o'clock from 6 to 8:30. They do stop promptly on time. So I encourage you all to attend. And there's about between $3 and $5 million that's not fully accounted for that is was generated here in Napomo and has not been spent here. Of course, that's closing the door after the horse is gone, but at least we could help set policies that would make sure that didn't continue into the future.
You're making director comments?
I am.
Or you're commenting on the manager's report?
I'm giving director's comments.
Ah, okay. I was looking for comments on the manager's report.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going on to the next item. We can't discuss the manager's report.
Okay, I have some questions from the manager.
Why not? It's right here. It's right here.
I know.
Can I?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can.
Two questions. Do you have a date? And I think this story asked, but I don't know if you give an answer. Do you have a date when the final report, incorporation report, will be expected? And second question is, do you have a date for the next rate workshop, rate study workshop?
That was my question, the rate study workshop.
The answer to both those is no. But the full answer is that on the incorporation study, Mr. Davis has forwarded some additional information and just wants to confirm the board's last direction, and I'll have that on the agenda for the 26th for board discussion and direction. And on the rate study. At our last workshop, we directed Mr. Reed to increase his scope of work and give us a proposal for considering AB 1600 or connection fees. And he has forwarded that to staff. I've reviewed it, and I'll have that again on the agenda for the 26th. And then that will give us, at that point, we can set our next workshop.
Okay. That answers my question then, too. Any outside of, you know, wow, this was a massive amount of work that you undertook, I look at it and say, boy, staff is going to be doing, you know, 48 hours a day, 14 days a week, full time, you know, steady, just to get all this stuff undertaken and on the way. There's a lot of work here, and it's a lot of really good work. So I'm glad to see that it was very, very complete. Thank you. Mrs. Worsen, did you have any comments on the manager's report?
Yes, I wanted to thank our general manager for that nice report. I really appreciated it.
I didn't know we could do that.
Mr. Trotter, did you have a comment?
Yeah, there has been some criticism in the community of the district spending money for the corporation study. And I think it was very appropriate when it was done. But there's a point here when the communities got to come forward and identify themselves and give us some. There are three or four individuals who've come forward, but you don't get a groundswell of interest. And I think it's appropriate that this district make it known that there's a limit to what district can spend on this study.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since it's so tenuous, you know, it's shaky right now. And so the next issue will be, do we initiate, because incorporation is going to take so long, do we initiate the process hoping that things come together by the time the actual step is taken? There's a lot to this thing that we're not addressing properly. We've got to be careful of what we spend on this thing, even though it very well might be the benefit of the community. One other thing, I don't think that the corporation will aid the traffic problem to the degree that some people do. It just isn't there. It'll take a long, long time, if ever, that a standing city can generate the influence and or the money to remedy our problems here. The problems lie with the state, primarily. The interchange here, Tift and 101.
Well, I'm sure that would be incorporated.
Just caution the board that this is going to be as a regular agenda item on the next agenda, and I think that would be the appropriate time for a broad discussion.
That would be the time to discuss it at that point. But that'll be, you know, part of the incorporation committee's efforts to see where or if we can even go. With that, were there any committee meetings during this holiday time period? Director's comments, Mr. Wynn, I think you were almost there.
I was off and running there. My apologies for misunderstanding where we were on the agenda. I won't repeat them, obviously. I'll move on. The advisory council here locally will hold their town hall meeting on the 17th. That's Monday the 17th at 6:30 in this building. No, it'll be at the high school.
Yeah.
And candidates for various positions on the advisory council will have a chance to speak 3 minutes apiece to the public. The chair tells me there's only been 5 applications and there's 15 seats to be filled. Who knows who will be there on that evening. Monday the 24th will be the election. It'll be held all day long here. And on the 31st will then be the installation of the new advisory council. So Those are all meetings the public's urged to attend. Saturday, January 22nd, is a fairly significant day, or maybe insignificant. Remains to see how it turns out. From 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, the county is holding what they call a 50-year planning event.
Slow car, yeah.
At Napomo High School. And the idea is not to look at our immediate foreground, but to look out 50 years and say, what kind of a place do we want this to be? This is open to all the public, but they do ask for advance registration. And they have a website. You can register online. That's at a SlopeCog website. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't remember the URL, but right. It's... Yes, would you...
State to date.
Maybe
The Coastside Workshop is January 22nd at Napomo High School. And the website is community2050.org.
Okay. Community2050.org. Anyway, I think that's something that all of us have a great deal to offer, as well as, of course, curiosity. I was elected to be chair for the Water Resource Advisory Council for this year, countywide. We will be meeting on the first Monday of each month, as we have in the past. All year we have the San Luis Obispo Library reserved, so that's going to be our regular meeting place, and I encourage everybody to attend. This is the oldest advisory council in the county, and I'm hoping that we can revitalize it, give it a little more muscle. So I'll be talking to all sorts of people about ideas for that. Paavo Ogren, who is Deputy Director for Planning, our Public Works for County, notified us that the pipeline project, our pipeline project to Santa Maria, does not qualify for Prop 50 monies because it straddles the funding line between what is officially South California, what is officially North California. A viewpoint that we must listen to, but we may have other viewpoints, so I encourage staff to maybe get a second opinion. And last, we do need to have a letter go from this board again, telling them who our representatives are. We did send documentation on the first one, that is when we put Mr. LeBrun in as our primary representative, but either it's been lost, or I don't know what the story is. They don't have it. So if we would send them another one, and of course adding the alternate to that letter, that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Reedy. To the Water Resources. Yes, do you have any comments?
No, not today.
Mrs. Wilson?
No, thank you.
Mr. Trotter, do you have any direct comments? I'm going to pass in the interest of expediency. At this time, we'd like to take public comment on items for closed session.
Yes, Mr. President, we will be adjourning to closed session. Discuss five items. All the litigation ones are all pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 as follows. One is the Santa Maria Groundwater Valley groundwater adjudication case as announced in the agenda. The other one is existing litigation. This is the Maria Vista's litigation against the Napomo Community Service District. There's one under initiation of litigation. This is a Summit Station Land Use Ordinance and Environmental Impact Report. And then lastly, we're going to discuss a tort damage claim filed against the district by the person in the Barbara Meadow, did I have that right?
Maddox.
And then lastly,
pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, we're going to be having a closed session regarding our ongoing negotiations to acquire 635 Sheehy Road. It's approximately 2.15 acres for a possible tank site. The district's negotiator is our general manager, Mr. LeBrun. The property owners and negotiators are the Stillwells and Gabrielle. And what's under negotiation is price in terms of payment.
at this time, it'd be appropriate to take public comment on any one or more of those items.
Okay, we'd like to take public comment prior to going into closed session on any of these five items. And if you could state your name for the record when you get to the mic.
Good morning, my name is Tim Murphy. I live at 1560 Ewing Road, Royal Grand. I live in the Summit Station Water District. I prepared a letter to the district and the board there. What I addressed in the letter is comments, action email made by Mr. Wynn, kind of laying out the major points that the board was considering regarding the EIR prepared by the county December 7th. That was also referenced in the press a couple places, so I just kind of tried to address some of the issues there. One thought I had walking up here to various meetings, hearings, and testimonies I've been to, I don't believe I've heard yet a member of the public come forth supporting your potential litigation against the county. And I may be wrong, but I'm not aware of either any letters or public comments coming up here in support of suing the county. What I'd like to address is the issue in the letter having to do with the statement of overriding conditions. One of the statements says that the approval that the general plan amendment would allow the property owners to pursue the full potential and development of their properties under the residential rural category. There's no mention of this in Mr. Wynn's letter, but this really speaks to the heart of our matter. In the general plan amendment, we did not request that the county change our land use density or designation, and we did not request a zoning change.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Murphy, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry,
speak a little louder.
Okay, is it not coming through the mic? If this is on. Oh, okay. I'll just talk louder. Yeah, we did not request the county change our land use designations, or did we request a zoning change. What we actually request is the board remove planning standards placed on the Summit Station residents under duress some 10 years ago. The Board of Supervisors agreed with our position and felt restoring our rights was so important as to override concerns regarding the effect it may or may not have on the groundwater basin on the Nequoma Mesa. The idea that the EIR is inadequate in my mind is somewhat ridiculous. There was an EIR completed, there was a resource capacity study completed, there was a recirculated EIR sent out, the resource management system did a review of the water level severity on the Mesa, the Planning Commission held hearings, the Nequoma Community Service District submitted numerous letters, they submitted public testimony at all those hearings. After all this and lengthy consideration, the Board of Supervisors voted 5-0 to approve the EIR and the general plan amendment. I feel myself and some of the other residents of Summit Station that the EIR is somewhat of a red herring, that we're caught in a power struggle action between the Tapoma Community Service District and the County of San Luis Obispo. The district was allowed to make its case to the public and to the Board of Supervisors and failed to prevail. I feel the decision now to initiate action against the county is a waste of district and county resources and is a case of sour grapes, which will ultimately make for some sour wine, which we'll all have to drink. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Any other public comment regarding any of the items in closed session?
Bob Lowe, Royal Grande, resident of Summit Station. Couple of things. One, you people seem bent on to circumventing the people up there that have wells from using them. I saw that if I put on a granny house, I can't continue to use my well. I got to hook my house up. People that live on Dale Avenue especially, and Mr. Goshuk there, our wells draw water from the fractured rock across the foothills. Comes through Las Barras Canyon, comes down through there. So we do not draw water from this water basin. And for me to hook up, for the other people to hook up, that means you're going to have to import water from over here in Black Lake or wherever, pump it over here, and have us use water. And you seem to be wanting to conserve water. I can't see why you want to make us use water that we don't need. I don't need your water from over there. I've said that in repeated meetings. I've got my own water that comes from the fractured rock. It tastes different. It's different quality. And it's better water. So why would I want to hook up to that? And the other thing is, why would you not want us to use that water? Because we're not putting a drain on the overlying basin. That doesn't make sense to me. If you're trying to save water, why are you forcing us to use your water? You're still getting the same money for the assessment district. And the other thing you address in the EIR, Jones said that it's the price of property in Summit Station in this EIR is not relevant. 46 new houses are going to be built. One lot in Summit Station today, if you can afford to buy a lot, is $750,000. You put a house on that, you're looking at $1 million. So you put 46 houses up there, you're looking at $46 million. And the county's going to get 2% of that. Taxes. You're going to get some of that money in taxes. What's the problem? 122 granny houses go in, which I doubt they'll all go in. But if they go in, they're going to be a minimum of $100,000 to $200,000 apiece, which is another probably somewhere between $12.5 and $24 million. So you're looking at $80 million for the taxable money that can go to San Luis Obispo County in this district, not counting fees, which are exorbitant. And you're fighting all that. And the governor of the state of California is standing up there on the paper saying, hey, we need more housing in the state of California. And you people are standing in our way to do just what we want to do and what we're entitled to do. We're not asking for a different zoning. We just wanted back what we had to begin with. And you wonder why these people are mad. I'm 71 years old. I haven't got time to wait 10 years for you people to dance around. I want to do it now.
Can you summarize your comments? And
Mr. Fryerly,
yes.
Only because the press is here, and I would hate for them to leave with a misunderstanding, I wish to correct one thing that Mr. Blair just said. Our district does not require anybody to hook in their primary home nor to have a secondary in Summit Station. That's a county regulation in Title 19. It's nothing to do with our regulations at all.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Wynn.
Where do you find it? It's an accounting asset.
My name is Diane Bram. I live in the Summit Station area on 20 acres. The county in December reinstated our property rights and gave us the right to subdivide or put a granny on a 5-acre parcel. And I am here to ask you to refrain from legal action to take those rights away. I feel that initiating legal action will only continue to take value away from our land. I know that when we owned property in Avila Beach and Unocal had actions that devalued our property, they came and offered us a settlement or to take some money and still own our land. And I think maybe the people in Summit Station should consider asking the NCSD for money for loss of value to their land if you take action that will devalue our property. I would like to say that the NCSD pursuing legal action will only continue to promote illegal units being put up in the Summit Station area. I know for a fact there are numerous illegal grannies, add-ons, and all types of properties in that area. I have called code enforcement personally more than 10 times on one unit, and they failed to enforce anything, which only tells me, go ahead and put it up. We're not going to do anything about it. So if you don't let them do it legally, I feel they're just going to do it illegally. I know that Clay and Kathy Beck are not here this morning because they are meeting with an architect. They have a 5-acre parcel across the street from me, and their in-laws are living with them. They sold their home, and they have been waiting to put a granny unit on. They are now looking at possibly just adding on to their house rather than putting a detached granny, which is really what they want to do. If something happens to their in-laws, they're going to be stuck with an add-on to their house that they didn't want rather than a detached granny that they could rent out.
Mrs. Brandon, could you summarize? 3 minutes.
Oh, thank you. That's really all I wanted to say. I hope you consider our rights and leave what the county did.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Gasho.
Gil Gashel, 1655 Quiet Oaks. In light of, and first of all, I want to again thank you for your earlier either lack of opposition or support of my de-annexation, detachment, whatever it's called. And so I will certainly continue with that. But in spite of that, It will be a lengthy process to go through. I'm sure there are some obstacles that neither of us are aware of, so I'm still here as a Summit Station owner, resident, still speaking against the ongoing the potential litigation that you're going to be taking against the county. As you will recall, and I've testified to this previously, in 1993, NCSD supported Summit Station at full build-out, and that included the full RR designation, and it was only the very last minute that the county put on the restrictions on, that overlaid the RR category for development. Numerous members of either the board and or the general manager have come out repeatedly in the press fully supporting our rights, and yet what you do in closed session goes directly against that. Mr. LeBron has been quoted recently in several newspapers in full support of the rights of Summit Station to subdivide and build granny units. In spite of that, you then go into closed session and threaten to sue the county. I'm a little bit perplexed as a Summit Station owner why you are against Summit Station. As recently as October, you granted the Robertson addition right next to us. Give them water, give them their rights. Yet you're now against Summit Station. You're saying you don't have any water, yet you just recently granted the Robertsons the right, and that's to do that. To my knowledge, you haven't taken support against CDF, who agreed to 500 gallons per minute, and now we're saying 1,000, and you're not enforcing the agreement that was between CDF and you. Yet Robertson went in at 500 as recently as October. It's not going in at 1,000. It's going in at 500. I'm very confused about that. So, you know, my opinion is you're a utility, yet you're taking on a whole broader approach of planning, not only within the Summit Station area, outside of the Summit Station area. And I would again plead that if, in fact, as you've said, Mr. Wynn has talked about it in the past, Mr. LeBron, that you're in agreement with our position, then I still suggest you go to your counsel, Mr. Seitz, and direct him to find a way to allow us to go ahead with our full rights. Go ahead with your litigation if you choose to do that against the county. There's got to be a way you can keep us whole in the process of your litigation, and direct Mr. Seitz to find a way to do that so that we can go ahead with our rights to subdivide and or build granny units. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gasho. Any further public comment? Seeing none, we will now go into closed session. Does anybody on the board want to take a 10-minute break?
Let's get this over with. It's almost here.
Session.
This is a report on a closed session as to agenda item number one, the Santa Maria Groundwater Valley adjudication. The board did hear an update from legal counsel but took no reportable action. Number two, this is a Maria Vista NCSD litigation. Again, there was an update from legal counsel but the board took no reportable action. Number three is conference with the legal counsel initiation of litigation. The board did hear an update from legal counsel, and on a 5-0 vote, instructed counsel to initiate litigation. Four, conference with legal counsel to consider damage claim against district by Barbara Maddox. Heard an update from the general manager and instructed the general manager on four votes approving, one vote abstaining, which reflects as a no vote, authorized settlement of the claim. And then five, conference with real property negotiator. This is the Sheehy Road piece of property. Instructed the, heard an update from Michael LeBrun, the district negotiator, and instructed the negotiator to withdraw for further negotiation.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Thank you.